God bless you for being here today. I hope you're ready for the preaching of God's Word, and I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Romans in the New Testament. If you've not brought your Bible with you today, why don't you take the Pew Bible in front of you and turn with us to page number 1297. Page number 1297, you'll find yourself at our text for the day. That's Romans chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, then the book of Romans. If you've gone to 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you've gone too far. So I want you to have your Bible open there so you can see from your own Bible what God has to say to us about accessibility, a very important subject for believers. And I hope that you'll leave this place today appreciating more and more the accessibility that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 5, and beginning with verse 1, as I read this scripture to you, I want you to notice there are four important phrases. And if you would just visualize a chain with four links, okay, can you do that? And each one of these phrases being an important link in the chain. You can't get to the third link without first of all addressing the second link. And on we go. They are dependent upon each other. And I'll make that emphasis to you as we go through this scripture this morning. If you have your Bible open to Romans 5, chapter 1, or verse 1, give me a loud hearty amen.
Amen.
All right, then you read silent as I read aloud. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have gained access. There's a very important word that we'll be talking about the next two Sundays in this three-part sermon series on access. And if you're reading from another version of the Bible, the New American Standard, it doesn't use the word access, it uses the word introduction, but the same word. All right, access, and it's by faith, into this grace in which we now stand. What a powerful verse on access. And as I said before, there are four links to this chain in these four phrases. So let's look at the first link in the chain, that first phrase which says, we have been justified through faith. If I was just going to sum down that phrase to one word, it'd be the word justified. And it is amazing how few Christians know what justification is. So I want to give you a definition of justification. If you are a Christian, you have been justified. And by that we mean you are declared righteous. That's the definition of justification. You are declared righteous when? At the very moment of salvation. If you can remember a time in your life when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in that moment, God from His courts in heaven declared you righteous, not because of anything you have done, all because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. It's not a matter of your performance, it's a matter of your position in Christ as a believer. And that's why that word faith is so important. It is justification by faith, not by works. Because we don't earn our way to heaven. We cannot do enough good deeds. We cannot do enough good works. That's why Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our righteousness comes from placing our faith in the finished work of Christ. And what is the finished work of Christ? It's when He suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary for you and me. And if you'd been the only person in all of human history that needed a Savior, Jesus would have still come to die for you and for you alone. His sacrifice covers our sins, allowing God to see us as perfect and unblemished. Now, when you get saved, when you get justified, it doesn't mean that you're not going to sin anymore. You need to look no further than this person standing behind this pulpit to see an example of that. I sin and disappoint the Lord on a regular basis. But when God looks at me, He looks through the lenses through the rose-colored lenses, the shed blood of his own son, Jesus Christ, who was perfect. And he sees me through his son's blood as perfect and unblemished. And that's why I am justified. At the moment of salvation, God declares me righteous. That's good news. Amen? Well, let's go on to that next link in the chain, the next phrase. It says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of important words there, but I've honed in on the word peace. Because when we are justified with Christ, we then have peace with Him. Now, listen to this fact. Without Jesus as your Savior, you are an enemy of God. And that's news to a lot of unsaved people. Because a lot of unredeemed people consider themselves, at worst, being neutral about God. But I want you to know that that kind of neutrality about God is absolutely impossible. We must personally trust in Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. And thank God that when we do that, He satisfied God by taking our sins in His body on the cross of Calvary. That satisfies the holy God who says in Hebrews 8:12, He remembers our sins no more. You know, there's one thing God cannot do. No, whoa, wait a minute here, preacher. I've heard you preach that God is omnipotent. That means God is all-powerful. God can do anything, and that's absolutely right. God can do anything except one thing, and that is remember your sins once they're under the blood of Jesus. That's what He said in Hebrews 8:18. He doesn't remember our sins anymore, and that is a divine attribute because I can't do that and you can't do that. As I said before, I fail, I sin. I disappoint God, I disappoint you on a regular basis. And when the Holy Spirit convicts me of that sin, if I've got an ounce of spiritual gumption, I will ask for your forgiveness. And you, as a kind and merciful person, will forgive me. But there's one thing you cannot do as a human being, and that is forget my sin. That's part of our human condition. I mean, we can forgive, but it's impossible for us to wipe it from our memory. But the good news about God is, He not only forgives our sins, but He wipes it from His memory. He buries it in the deepest sea. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. And thank God He remembers it no more. That is the basis for our peace. That is our basis for our assurance that we are saved. That is the basis for the sweet quiet of the soul that only comes through peace in Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a personal question. Do you have that kind of peace? Oh, friend, you can have it right now by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. So four links in this chain. Four key words. First key word, justified. Have you been justified, declared righteous by trusting Jesus as your Savior? And because of that, do you now have peace with Him? No longer an enemy of God, no longer at enmity with God? Well, let's go on to the next phrase and the next link in the chain. It says, through whom we have gained access. That is the key word in this verse, and it is the launching pad for this three-part sermon series I'm preaching beginning today. Again, it says, through whom, Jesus, we have access by faith. Second time we've read that word faith. We're justified through faith. Do you see that? And we have access by faith. Faith is key. Trusting God is important. The word access here is used only three times in the New Testament. The two other times are in Ephesians. Ephesians 2:18 and Ephesians 3:12. And it's a very heavily freighted word because it says God has provided a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, to holy God the Father, for each one of us. That's why the first point in your outline there is salvation is accessible to all people. There is no one that is left out. Everyone has accessibility through Jesus Christ. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in Jesus' sight. The up and in, the down and out, the rich, the poor, the young, the old. No matter what you did last night, no matter what you did last week, no matter what you did last month, last year, years ago, God says that through His Son Jesus, salvation is accessible to you because it's accessible to all people. When Christ was crucified on the cross, Matthew 27 says that the great veil in the temple which separated the Holy of the Holies from the common man was ripped from top to bottom. And the Holy Spirit was very specific in reporting that that veil was ripped from the top to the bottom, not the bottom to the top, because man had nothing to do with it. The veil in that temple was absolutely as high as this ceiling is. So a man or a few men working together could have worked at the bottom and started maybe cutting it so that it'd rip from the bottom to the top. But the only person that could rip that veil from top to bottom was God Himself. God supernaturally removed the barrier between sinful man and holy God through the shed blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how grateful we are for that. His death forever removed the barrier to accessibility to God's presence. Now that final link in the chain, we've seen three links, three important words: justified, peace, access, and now in this final phrase, we see the word grace. Look at that phrase. It says, into this grace in which we now stand. What does that mean? Well, to stand in God's grace is to be in the constant sphere of forgiveness. Now, as I said before, it doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. I am a saved sinner, meaning that I continue to disappoint God. I continue to fail God, but here is my position in Christ. Now that I have accessed God the Father by faith and I have peace with God the Father, I am now in the sphere of constant forgiveness, meaning that when the Holy Spirit makes me aware of ways that I have sinned Him, as a blood-bought believer, as a saved sinner, then I can claim 1 John 1:9. What a wonderful promise it is. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the first point we make today about this wonderful verse on accessibility is that salvation is accessible to all people. And I pray today, if you've never trusted Him, that you will trust Him as your Lord and Savior and find the way opened up for you to go into His presence by faith. But there is a second point there in your notes, and it's this. It speaks about the ramifications for you and me. Since God is accessible to all people, what are the implications for you and me as His follower? Well, you see it on the screen. You see it in your notes. Since Jesus is accessible to all people, we as His followers should be also. We shouldn't close ourselves off. We should not be inaccessible to our community, to the lost and dying world. We must be like Jesus. We must be open and accessible. All barriers were removed so that Jesus could come to us. I think about John the Baptist. I think about his ministry. And over in Luke chapter 3, verses 4 and 6, it says this about John the Baptist's mission: prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. In other words, no more of this trying to get to God. No more crooked hairpin roads. No more of this up and down, up and down, up and down trying to get to God. It's going to be a straight shot, as straight as an arrow. John said, that's my mission, that's my ministry. He goes on to say there in Luke 3, 4 through 6, the crooked roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. In other words, what was once inaccessible will be made accessible. And I love the last part of that verse. It says, and all mankind will see God's salvation. When men, women, boys, girls, and teenagers walk into this building or walk into your or my presence, they should see the free offer of salvation being made to them. And there should be no impediments. There should be no obstacle between them and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads to the third point I want to make to you there in your notes. We must remove. I'm talking about us as believers. I'm talking about us specifically here at First Baptist Church. We must remove any hindrances from people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a wonderful verse in Isaiah 62, verse 10, that I want to show you today. And it begins with two words in the Hebrew language. It's two words for us in the English language, but they're one word repeated twice in the Hebrew tongue. Pass through, pass through. This is the only time that this particular phrase is used in the Old Testament, except for Micah 2:13. So it's very significant that we see this instruction, pass through the gates. Let's stop right there. Because I've been studying this verse, and there's a lot of different opinions on who this verse is applied to. There are some who say, well, this verse is being spoken to those Jews that are still in Babylonian captivity, and they're within the walls of Babylon, and they have been freed by God, freed to go back to their homeland, Jerusalem, but one thing's standing in their way, and that's the Babylonian gates. And so it's a command to them to pass through, pass through. That is one application. But there are other people who are just as respected in their knowledge of the book of Isaiah. It says, no, it does not apply to those Jews that are in Babylon behind the closed city gates. It applies to those Gentile nations that are between Babylon and Jerusalem who are instructed now to remove any hindrance, any impediment, any obstacle that would lead the people of Babylon, who are Jews, to have difficulty in getting back to Jerusalem. The king in particular. Remove all the stones out of his way. But then there are yet others, like John Calvin and John Wycliffe, that say those are all interesting applications. But this verse right here, Isaiah 16, is for the church. It is for New Testament believers. So the Holy Spirit is the only one that really knows who the application is for, whether it's for the church, whether it's for the Gentile nations on the way from Babylon to Jerusalem, or whether it's for the Jews in exile still behind the city gates of Jerusalem. But we can certainly make application for us today, because the command is to remove any hindrance for people finding their way to the Lord God. So read it, you silently and me aloud from the screen there. Pass through, only time that's used in the Old Testament except Micah 2:13. Pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. And Calvin and Wycliffe said, when the prophet says, raise the banner for the nations, it's speaking of raise the cross of Christ. Raise the cross of Jesus as your standard, as your flag, as you march forward in liberty and in freedom. Oh, friend, it is so important that we do our part in removing any hindrance in people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this word accessibility has really guided our facilities team here at First Baptist Church that has been at work now for 18 months. And in the back of their mind, they've constantly been thinking about how can we as a church family be more accessible in three areas. More accessible spiritually to those who are outside our gates and to those who are within our walls? How can we be more accessible to everyone spiritually? But just not more accessible spiritually. How can we be more accessible to people physically? Those who have physical limitations, those who have mobility issues. And then how can we be more accessible emotionally to the people here within our church and to those who are yet to come, who are outside the walls of this church? And so our facilities team has been working now for 18 months, and on November 8th, they'll make their presentation to us in this room during Sunday school, and I hope that you'll come and be a part of their presentation, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a glimpse about how they're answering the question of how we can be more accessible in three areas: spiritually, physically, and emotionally. This is the recommendation that the facilities team will present to you on November 8th about this main sanctuary. And I know it's kind of hard to see, but you will notice that the steps, or what we commonly refer to as the altar area, are going to be greatly expanded so that when the time of commitment comes, when the preacher stands here and invites people to come forward, making decisions, and to come forward to this altar so that they can pray, it won't just be room for two or three people to kneel here in prayer, but there will be room for many, many people to come, making their commitments and their decisions. It will be more accessible spiritually for our people. And notice the stage area. There's no impediment. There's no barrier between the preacher and the worship leaders and the folks that are out there worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, this platform is going to be down 1 foot, making a warmer rapport between those who are up there here leading in worship and those who are out in the congregation. And that's a good move. That's a real good move, because everybody that's up here is not more important than you. We're going to get more down on your level, be more accessible emotionally. But not only more accessible spiritually with a bigger altar, more room for worship leaders, more accessible emotionally so that there's no barriers between the worshiper and the worship leader. We're more on your level. We're more accessible to you, a warmer rapport. But then there's also going to be physical barriers removed. It's going to be more accessible physically. You're going to have to look real carefully at this artist rendering, because it's so well disguised. But behind the grand piano, do you see the grand piano up there? Behind that grand piano is a wheelchair lift, so that anyone who has mobility issues will no longer have to say, you know, I wish I could sing in the choir, I wish I could be in the orchestra, I wish I could be in the praise team, but I just can't get up on the platform. I know we've got a ramp out here, but the slope on it is not ADA approved. It's a very severe slope because of the limited distance. And all of our architects, when they saw it, said this is a little dangerous. And so we're going to remove all of the barriers, physical, emotional, and spiritual, for people to find access to the Lord Jesus Christ. The next slide shows an idea that's going to be presented during Sunday school here on November 8th in this building, and that is an expanded welcome center. And if you'll look to the far right of that slide, you'll see an idea that they're going to propose about a new elevator. And you know, when I think about welcome and I think about being elevated, I think about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to us, because we are extensions of that welcome. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest." Jesus is throwing open his arms, welcoming us into his presence. And then Jesus lifts our spirit. He lifts us from the place of gloom and despair and hopelessness to new heights, to a new level. And these are just physical representations of what God wants to do for us spiritually. You know, you might be here today, lost without Jesus, and I've got good news for you. There is no impediment between you and God today. All you have to do is, by faith, come to Jesus. And when you do that, you're going to have access into the presence of God the Father, where you will live in heaven with Him forever and ever and ever. If you've never trusted Him, if you've never been justified, you can be today. And I'm going to be waiting for you right down here. And we're going to stand up and sing in a few moments, and I hope that you'll be the first one to come and to say, yes, I want to trust Jesus. Maybe there'll be others of us who have already trusted Christ, but we feel like this is the kind of place that I want to be a member of, and I want to be in a place where anyone is accepted. You know, our hymn of invitation today is hymn number 465. I rarely do this, but would you take that hymnal in front of you? I want to read to you an important verse, the third verse in this hymn, Only Trust Him. Important, the word trust is there because we see in that word trust the equivalent of the word faith, which we read twice in Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. It's all about trust. It's all about faith. Look at that third verse. It's up on the screen too. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way. When I think about way, I think about Jesus saying in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is our open access. He is the open way that leads you into rest, into spiritual rest, the kind of rest that God promised when He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Look at that next phrase. Believe. Another word for trust and faith. Believe in Him without delay. Don't say, well, you know, I might do it next week. Or maybe I'll wait till I'm wearing something different. Friend, we don't have the promise of tomorrow. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. I love that chorus. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you right here and now. Let's talk to Him about it right now. Father, how we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You that He is the way. He is our access to salvation. He is our way to God the Father. And Father, I pray right now for that soul who's never been saved, who's never been justified, that this would be their day of salvation, that You'd give them the grace and the strength to come forward during this invitation to make that public stand for You. Father, I pray for others who have already trusted You, but You're moving on their heart and showing them that they need to be a part of a church family like this. I pray that You would clear the way down this aisle for them to come and join the life of this church. And God, we ask all of these things in the matchless and the merciful name of Jesus. Amen.